But I was sitting waiting.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Football Focus Podcast. I'm William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy, back to talk a little football. And this will be our last podcast for a little while because, believe it or not, after this set of games this week, it's just Thanksgiving and then finishing up the playoffs. So we're getting down to it. The playoff races are, well, they're settled in D2 because playoffs start this week in D2. D1 still very much up in the air. Last week's action really kind of threw a wrench into everything. You had Barrington beating East Providence, and then probably even more notably than that was, in terms of the standings, was Cranston East beating South Kingstown. That means Cranston East is still alive. We were just talking. We could have five teams ending up at 4-4. Yep. There is a possibility of that happening. So it's pretty crazy out there. The one team that really benefited from all that last week and from taking care of business on their own side was Hendricken. They beat Cranston West, and they are in.
Yeah, they clinched the playoff spot with the win last week. Looked very good in doing so. Looked like a team that deserves to be in the playoffs. And they get a chance to kind of solidify where they're going to be in the playoffs this week. They take on Barrington, which is 3-4 in Division One. Hendricken is now 5-2. Barrington needs this game to stay alive in the hunt. Five losses and you're going to be eliminated. Four losses, you still might not be in, but at least you're going to be, you know, you're going to have a chance. So, a huge game for Barrington. If Hendricken were to win, they'd improve to 6-2, and it could be no worse than the 3 seed. They would even likely be the 2 seed at that point, because East Providence already has 2 losses, the only other team with 2 or fewer losses, and they still have South Kingstown and LaSalle to play. If they were to lose either one of those games, they would fall to 3 losses. Hendricken would take over the 2 spot and would go into the playoffs as that 2 seed. So, a lot to play for, even though Hendricken is already in. With a loss, they almost definitely will not be the 2 seed. So a big game. I mean, they want that home game in the playoffs, and to get it, they're going to have to go through a Barrington team that needs to win this game in order just to get there.
It's pretty amazing that Hendricken is in this position now. A couple weeks ago, they lost East Providence. They were saying, oh, we have to find ourselves again. But I think they had a little bit of a turning point game against Portsmouth. It came out really strong against West, and then a lot of other things kind of fell in the way that helps them get in. So, I mean, they're definitely feeling good. And you saw their game against Cranston West, and they looked strong.
They did, and I don't think they've changed all that much in terms of what they're actually doing. And, you know, X's, no's, and that sort of thing. I mean, they're still doing what they do. I think they just kind of tightened it up, to use, you know, their coach Keith Croft's words that he said to me after that game. You know, they just fixed a few things in terms of mental mistakes, you know, fewer penalties, fewer turnovers, and I think they gained a little confidence in doing so. You know, when you have a couple, you know, 10-play drives where you run the ball and you pick up 6-7 yards a pop and you score and you don't turn it over and you control the game in that way, I mean, you gain some confidence from that. So I think they've been doing that a little bit better than they were early in the season, and the biggest thing they do have going for them right now is that confidence. I mean, they think that they can play with anybody. I'm sure they would be happy to get East Providence again, because I think they think they're a lot closer than, you know, the 3 touchdowns they lost to, especially with East Providence showing some chinks in their armor now. You know, LaSalle is obviously still the team to beat, but, man, Hendricken looks very strong, and again, can really solidify their place this week.
Yeah. Barrington is certainly no slouch either. I thought at the beginning of the year that they were going to be a lot better than they were. I thought they might be the second best team. Mm-hmm. But they kind of showed that a little bit last week. They blew out East Providence 34-6. And East Providence, everybody was saying they're number two now. They're definitely number two. But that has become kind of a revolving door. And Barrington showed that they can pretty much hang with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. Like we said before the season, we knew they were going to be good. And I think they've had a couple letdowns. The loss to West, I think you put those teams against each other today and you might have a different result. But again, like you said, they show what they can do, you know, when they play well. And East Providence is kind of a tricky team to figure out. I can't tell if they really are that good or if they're not. I mean, they just are so up and down in certain games and, you know, the way they play. But at the very least, Barrington showed that they're playing with some desperation. They realized the stakes, and they went out there and got it done. And they didn't just do it. You know, they didn't win 21-20 or something. They dominated. That 34-6 win says a lot. They controlled the game on the ground. They had running back Will Brown and James Murphy. Murphy's only a sophomore. And quarterback Jack Ryan, who's always a threat to run, was a big-time player last year as well. So they did that offensively, jumped out to an early lead, and then I think had that confidence that we were talking about Hendricken has, and kind of unleashed on East Providence's option and you know, just dominated the game. So you got to think they're confident coming in too, you know, after the way they played last week.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, like we said, it's not an enormous game for Hendricken, but it's big for Barrington. So if you go to this game, you're going to see two teams really, really fighting for it. Our prediction in this one, we are going to take Hendricken in a close one, 27-21. Let's talk about another Division I game. We've got Portsmouth visiting Cranston West, and this is another game with big playoff implications, and in this case, it's for both teams. Portsmouth right now is 3-4 in Division I. West is 3-3, still kind of reeling. They've lost three straight in league play. So these are two teams that are firmly in the mix, and this game will go a long way into determining where they end up.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have believed you if you said West was going to be 3-3 after the way they started this year. But yeah, it's a huge game for them confidence-wise and just to kind of get back on track and, you know, long-term to actually make the playoffs. If they win out and go 5-3, you know, they win this game and then beat East on Thanksgiving, they'll almost certainly be in. But lose either of those games and, it, you know, everything is cloudy again and we really don't know how that's all going to shake out. But if they lose this game, they'll fall behind Portsmouth. They could potentially fall behind Barrington. Hendricken will be ahead of them. South Kingstown will be ahead of them. I mean, they'll fall into 6th or 7th place in the division just on this one loss. So they got to keep pace. And right now, the way they've looked the last three games, things have to change if they're going to do that because their offense has been anemic the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I think their defense was probably okay against Hendricken. Yeah, and it has been okay every step of the way. But it's that offense is just not clicking right now. And it sounds like from what Coach Steve Storr has been saying that it's largely mental for them.
I think that's probably true because, you know, we know they have the athletes. I mean, you see Brian Stetson run the ball, and he looks like an elite running back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very, very good running back. And I said it last week, I think, on the podcast, but I've seen Matt Russo, their quarterback, wind up and throw the ball 50 yards. I mean, he looks like a quarterback. He has the arm to do it. Just for whatever reason, everything is not going together. And when that's happening on the offensive side of the ball, when they're going three and out and giving the ball back, it puts so much pressure on their defense. And they gave up 25 to Hendricken last week and somewhere in the 30s to LaSalle the week before that. But they were on the field for, you know, three quarters of the game. So, you know, the defense looks worse because the offense has been bad. If they can even just stay on the field a little bit longer with the offense, it'll help the defense and, you know, obviously hopefully produce some points for that offensive unit. But it has been a struggle the last few weeks.
Portsmouth will be playing for its life. West can lose and still get itself into the mix. Portsmouth, if they lose, they hit that 5-win plateau and they're done. So they will obviously be playing hard. They blew out North Kingstown last week.
No surprise.
Yeah, took care of business in that one. They also played Hendricken pretty tough the week before. They played a lot of teams pretty tough. So they're a good team. And we've talked about Austin Sapaniak before. He's a really, really solid running back. So West is going to have its hands full in this game. And I think it really just does come down to confidence. Do they believe that they can do it at this point? If they do, then I think they absolutely can, and they can be a playoff team. But it's just going to come down to, you know, whether they think they can do it or not.
I think the start of the game is very important, because against Hendricken they came out, and you could see they were fired up, and they wanted it, and they believed a little bit, and then they got down, and it was here we go again, and things unraveled, and the offense struggled, and, you know, everything happened all over again. If they can get something going, especially offensively, early in the game and get a touchdown, I think that'll really, really change the way they just play and the way they approach everything when they're out there. But they go down 7-0 or 14-0, and all of a sudden, it's hard to dig yourself out of that hole after you've lost, you know, four straight and three straight in league play. So look for them to come out, you know, hard, and if that fails, you know, they might be looking at a fourth straight loss.
Yeah, but prediction-wise, it's the same thing we talked about last week. It's just a little bit tough to pick West right now. So we're taking Portsmouth. They'll be playing desperate, and we've got them winning 22-20.
That'll cloud everything up.
It'd just be crazy. It's just a crazy playoff picture. LaSalle's just sitting up there comfortably in the top spot.
Laughing at everybody.
Yeah, everybody else fighting it out. And then another team that is now in the mix as we move on here. We'll talk about LaSalle visiting Cranston East. East we thought was completely out of it, but then they go and beat South Kingstown. All of a sudden they're 2-4. If they somehow spring an upset against LaSalle, they're 3-4. If they beat West, they're 4-4. Depending on what everything else that happens, they could very easily be into the playoffs at that point. So, obviously, it's a very tough road. You don't think they're going to beat LaSalle. Cranston West might be tough, but they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, this is the key game. Obviously, they have to take it, you know, one at a time. If they ever were to beat this game, I mean, I would give them a... I'd probably pick them against West, to tell you the truth, but... You know, that would be in the future. Right now, we're talking about playing the best team in the state, you know, that has been head and shoulders above everybody so far this year. Hasn't had a close game, really. Has the most points scored in Division I and the fewest allowed by wide margins on both sides. Have some of the best playmakers in the state. Anthony Francis, the quarterback. Josh Morris, at running back. They're just the best team in the state. And so, you know, you get Cranston East, which has won the last couple games, two-game winning streak, and did so last week by doing what we say a lot when we talk about underdogs in order to get the win. They created turnovers. I think they were actually outgained in total yardage, but they won the turnover battle. They were opportunistic when they had to be. Against a South Kingstown team that has proven to be one of the state's best, or had up until that point. So a similar story against LaSalle, maybe even more so. They're going to have to force even more turnovers and play even more mistake-free. But that's going to have to be the formula if they are going to pull this one out.
We've talked all year about East having the talent, and I think now they're finally starting to play some good football, definitely playing their best football of the year. The thing that I think they don't have going for them that they might normally, that a team playing LaSalle in this situation might normally have, is that kind of surprise factor. Last year, in this very similar situation, West was 2-4 in league play, playing a really good LaSalle team, and East blew them out. And so LaSalle, you can bet they remember that, and they're saying, you know what, East is struggled this year, but look what they did to us last year. Yep. So that kind of hurts East chances.
Yeah, and LaSalle coming off that bye week, you know they've been drilling that home. Yeah, next time we get on the field, it's East. But, you know, get them back. And they've had plenty of time to prepare. And another thing that might be a little strange for everybody, and, you know, I don't know how it's going to play out in terms of what's going to happen, but the game's at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
It's on a Friday at 11 a.m. You know, you're used to playing night games and, you know, the occasional Saturday afternoon game. But, you know, this is probably the only time in their football careers they play a day game on a Friday. Mm-hmm. So whether or not that means anything, you know, I don't know. Maybe the crowd will be either larger than usual or worse than usual. I can't really judge right now, but that's something to keep an eye on, whether that affects it. And maybe, you know, I just mentioned that the Sal is probably fired up because of the bye, but there's also the possibility that they're a little bit rusty because of that bye. I mean, it's been 2 full weeks since they stepped on the field. And, you know, their confidence is high, and maybe they, they think all they're going to do is walk on the field a little bit too.
Yeah.
All these things are possible, but, LaSalle is still the best team out there right now.
Yeah, a lot of factors. I think East has a chance to make it a good game. So if you have Veterans Day off and you feel like catching a game, it's at Cranston Stadium, like we said, at 11 a.m. And it should be a decent game. And obviously, it's at least a chance to see a really good LaSalle team.
Yep.
So our prediction in this one, it would be pretty fun if East made a run, but we're taking the Rams 27-16. Moving on, we've got some Division II games to talk about. These are Division II consolation type
games. Yeah,
we'll go with that. Kind of like the NIT. Mm-hmm. Division II playoffs start this week with a full slate of games. None of our teams were able to get in there, so they all kind of match up with each other. That's the way D2 does it, to just get an extra game. So we'll start with Johnston visiting Pilgrim, and these are the two teams that were closest to making the playoffs and missed out.
Yep, they were the last team out on both sides, Johnston 2A and Pilgrim in 2B. And Pilgrim, man, Pilgrim's got to be reeling now. I mean, after what happened last week, they needed to win to get in against Mount Hope last week. We picked them here, feel a little bit foolish, because they lost that game 57-6. So obviously that eliminated them. And I can't imagine what it did for their confidence. I mean, they were confident going into that game because they had a right to be the way they played the last few. And they, you know, got down 21-0, I think it was at half, and never really made a serious run. And before they knew it, it was over. So interesting to see what they'll bring in this game that is, I mean, honestly, kind of meaningless. I mean, it's still a football game, and you want to, you know, put your best foot forward. But, they're not getting into the playoffs, and they have Thanksgiving on the horizon. So this is kind of sandwiched in between, and it's a strange game. So we'll see what they actually come out with. I mean, it's not like they're facing a pushover team either. Johnston was a couple plays away from making the playoffs on their side, and it is a very good team.
Yeah, and this game, it can be good for you. You know, a couple of years ago, Pilgrim won this kind of game and then used that kind of as a springboard into Thanksgiving. So that could be a key for them. As far as Johnston goes, they were playing well at the end of the year. Beat Westerly, beat Shea, and they just didn't have enough. They could look back at their two overtime losses, heartbreakers, Central and Cumberland. If they found a couple of different plays in those games, they might have been the 2 seed.
Yeah.
So it's definitely tough to swallow for Johnston. So it'll be interesting for them to see where they are as well. I don't think they're reeling like Pilgrim is, but they're it's a question of, you know, are they going to come back strong, or is this, you know, kind of the end?
Well, with them, they had almost resigned themselves to the fact that they weren't going to make the playoffs before last week.
Sure.
I mean, they had a mathematical chance, but it would have had to have a huge upset. It wasn't going to happen. So they still went out there and took care of business in a game that was, for all intents and purposes, meaningless for the playoffs. And, you know, still went out and beat Shea 20-6. So they almost have a little bit of practice in a game like this. And I think they have a lot of pride on that team that, you know, they made the playoffs the past few years. You know, they set a goal that they want to finish above 500 now when they knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. So I would be surprised if they didn't come out, you know, aggressive and playing similar to the way they have for the rest of the year. Pilgrim, I think, is just a big wild card. I mean, it's such an opposite of what they've been doing the last few weeks. They've had these huge games for three straight weeks, you know, so emotional and so big and everything so important, and they get blown out, and that's all over, crashes down very quickly, and now, nope, you're playing a meaningless game next week against a good opponent.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation if you're Pilgrim, and I think it'd be hard to blame them if they didn't have their best effort. I'm not saying they won't, and I think they certainly could, but, you know, it's probably a group that's a little shell-shocked.
Yeah, I would think. And I think we both agree that Johnson is the best Division II team that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So
definitely a challenge for Pilgrim. We will take Johnson in this one, 27-12. All right, let's talk about Vets taking on Woonsocket, another matchup of teams that missed out on the playoffs. Both of these teams went 1-6 in division play. This game is Saturday at 1:30, and it's really a chance for both to get a win. Those have been hard to come by this year, so
yeah,
and they'll be playing hard for it, I would think.
Yep, I mean, that's all it is. All these crossover games are the same sort of thing, where they're going to be kind of meaningless, but yeah, when wins have been hard to come by, when you each have just one win on the season, I would think they'll be fired up and ready to go. Woonsocket, I saw a couple weeks ago, and I think they're, you know, a little bit better than that 1-6 record. They're very young. They only have literally a handful of seniors on the team. So I think they're getting a little bit better as the year's going on. They have some good speed. I saw DeAndre Thomas was a running back for them. He broke it to the outside a couple times and made a few guys miss. So, you know, he's somebody to watch there for Woonsocket. But overall, I think these teams are fairly even. They're both a little bit undersized. They both rely on the run heavily. They both struggled this season. And you would think, yeah, they're both going to be ready and fired up to try and get one more win on a season that otherwise hasn't gone great.
It's another game where you talk about the mindset. Is Vets solely focused on Thanksgiving now, and this is just a blip on their radar screen, or are they trying to build up to that? And I think, you know, for both of those teams, Vets obviously has a really big Thanksgiving game. I think that where their state of mind is will say a lot for it. We are going to take Vets in this one. I think they can come out on top 13-12.
Picking Vets, that's twice now.
That's twice, yeah.
That was smart.
And our last game to talk about, another Saturday game. It's Saturday morning at Tollgate. Coventry coming to town. And Coventry finished 1-6 in Division 2A. Tollgate, of course, went 0-7 in 2B. It hasn't really had a good game since their non-league win against Vets to open the season. So Tollgate, their best chance to get back on track. Because when you look at the Thanksgiving, that's not, you would think, a winnable game for them against Hendrick.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so this is Tollgate's best chance to have something positive here.
You hope they're looking at it like that, but you also hope they're not looking at Coventry's record and going, okay, this team is bad, let's just go and we can probably win this game by just going out and playing. And I don't think they're thinking that way, because they obviously haven't won since the first game of the season, but Coventry's better than that 1-6. You know, they beat Pilgrim, who turned out was a fairly decent team as the season went on. They beat Shea, and they narrowly lost to Cumberland, the Cumberland team that's going to be in the playoffs.
Yes.
They lost by 2 points last week to Cumberland. So they're better, and they're improving. They started out the season winless, lost to Vets, and then have really picked it up the last four games. They've won two of those. Another one is that tough loss to Cumberland that I just mentioned. So I would think they're pretty confident. They will legitimately view this as a chance to absolutely get another win, as a team that they should beat. And I think they should be the favorites in this game. They have running back Stryker Blue, a kid who transferred from Hendricken this year, who, you know, is a real tough, scrappy kind of kid. He's small, but he's tough, and he fights for extra yards, and he can kind of wear you down. So I think he'll kind of be the key to their offense, and, you know, we'll see if Tollgate can stop him.
Yeah, and for Tollgate, same keys as always. Can the line open the holes? Can they pass protect? If they can, like we've always said, the players are there. So we'll see what happens. We're going to take Coventry in this one, 20-7. All right, that'll do it for us this week on the podcast. We will not be here next week.
Deserve a week off.
We have a week off. You guys probably deserve a week off, too, from listening to us. But we will be back with a special Thanksgiving edition of the Football Focus podcast, so make sure you look for that Thanksgiving week. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning.